Emily Sincotta is a Super Expander veteran. This is her second appearance on the Super Expander podcast. I'm super excited to share her with you once again and to dive into a really exciting conversation. Emily Sincotta is a marketing and offer strategist for coaches. Emily's no-nonsense approach is rooted in a principle-based marketing system. She helps coaches create, market, and launch irresistible offers. I'm so excited to dive in. You're listening to the Super Expander podcast. Aligned goals are pivotal for expansion. You don't need me to tell you that. But what happens when your flame weakens? What really happens when it totally goes out? Reignite your goals starts with awakening to the emotions that pull you further and further away. Letting go of your shame, denial, and frustration, and figuring out why your body is resisting your goals are the key to success. Regulate your nervous system, release the blocks, and reassess your path forward because your goals are ready to be reset and reignited. Hello, hello, Super Expanders. Welcome back. I am so excited because we have a Super Expander veteran here. It's so cool that the podcast is now like we're over 2 years old and 200 episodes plus into the game. And it's kind of cool to be able to bring some of our most like well attended or well listened to episodes and some of my most favorite people. And I'm sharing with you today, Emily Sincotta. And if you've been around for a while, you know, she was like one of the very first guests. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you got to go back. Rewind and check it out. Welcome, Emily. So excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me back and congratulations on 2 years and over 200 episodes. That is quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, I shocked myself that I somehow didn't like completely quit. Up until recently, I actually hadn't even taken a break. Like I actually, after the holidays, I had hit a little bit of an energetic wall and was like, you know, I think I just need a little bit of a break. I was, you know, tap into a little bit of creativity and see like, you know, like what the future holds, like where we're going to go, what the direction is.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like we're kind of taps right into what I'd love to talk to you about was like how your business has evolved since you were on the show last. I mean, so many things have changed. You've grown, you've expanded, you've changed. I mean, haven't we all? But let's
dive
right into like the top of mind things. Like what's the biggest shift that's happened in your business in the last 2 years?
Oh my goodness. So much has changed. It's funny because whenever somebody talks to me about the early stages of my business, I'm like, yeah, that was like 6 years ago. And then I sit with it. I'm like, no, that was 2 years ago. Like it's just been a lot of life in the last 2 years. So if anyone listening feels that way, you are not alone. I feel like we do so much life and entrepreneurship so fast. Like it just feels like we cram so much growth and transformation into such a condensed period of time. It's crazy. So trying to think back at what my business structure even was 2 years ago when I first talked to you on the podcast, I honestly fully don't even remember. But I know at that time I was still running live group programs, which I have almost completely eliminated from my business model right now. And it was like, I was creating one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, which at the time was feeling really exciting, but it quickly started to burn me out. And I know that you and I are going to get into all the nooks and crannies of this today, but that has been what I would say is the most significant shift is moving from this constant place of creation, one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, which I used to tell myself was in full alignment for me because I'm a manifesting generator and we like to do all the things and we can switch back and forth really easily. But it's really not the best idea in business. And it was creating a lot of negative side effects that I couldn't see early on in my business with that more narrow scope of vision. But as I got 1 year, 2 years out, I realized I can't keep going this way, nor is it the best business strategy either. And so I ended up completely getting rid of all my live group programs and I kept very specific facets of my business around for the transition phase, which was namely my mastermind. And I have a low ticket program called Niche Mastery, but everything in the middle has been, it's in the process right now of being rebuilt into something much more simple, much more sustainable. And that genuinely feels so much better to my nervous system, even to just think about that as I'm saying it out loud.
And what a difference when we feel good in our nervous system, what that does
night and day.
A, your energy. And when our energy is right, then all of a sudden it's like we stop repelling people away. Not that you were ever repelling people away, but we really do make space to easily say yes to the people who are drawn into our world that are like a right fit. Okay. So when you were first on the podcast, you were either kind of shedding the launch babe persona.
That's right.
I think you had like stopped. I think you had closed that account down already and were stepping into like the chapter of your business that has now evolved into what it is. But I want to ask you this idea of, you know, all of the live programs, the like one to the next. There are two things. One, I think that there's like a place in our business when that's happening. If you're listening and you're in the coaching industry where there's some dabbling, right? You're kind of like finding out what your audience likes and what they want and how you can give them your wisdom and your intelligence. But there's also another piece where that was kind of driven from almost like a silo in the coaching industry. Everybody was kind of getting the like vacuum sucked in, stemming from a few key coaches and it all like being this emulation from mentors and coaches. So I'm guessing that was kind of like a combination of both of what was going on in your business. So what was the light bulb that went off for you that was like, wait, something has to change? And in that, how did you get off the hamster wheel? Because it's kind of like you need the space in order to go back and basically pour concrete to put your skyscraper on rather than the quicksand it was essentially being built on. So let's go through all that.
Yep. Oh, there's so much goodness in there already. And first and foremost, I just want to make sure I say, and thank you for bringing this up, that there's nothing wrong with running live group programs in your business. And that was not what I was trying to say at all. And there's absolutely a dabbling stage where you might be trying one thing and then you shift it and it becomes something a little bit different as you're learning. And there is truly and fully that experimentation phase in your business. And it's not to say if you're doing that, you're doing something wrong. What I was doing that was different was creating a program, going all in on it, launching it fast and furious. And that is a key word there. As soon as you said launch babe, which it was for those of you listening, that was my old brand. I had built a brand fast and furious online from 0 to 30,000 followers in 8 months under this brand name, the launch babe, and then abandoned it. And that pattern, funny enough, I can see it now 2 years later in hindsight, is exactly what I was doing with my programs as well. I was building them fast and furious. I was going all in, doing good with them, like getting people in the programs, but then ditching them and going right on to the next, saying, that wasn't it. That wasn't what made me a millionaire. What's the next thing? And it was this constant need for validation, I would say. It was almost like I was trying to justify to myself that I was doing it right. I was trying to get the results that were big enough that I could point to and say, okay, this is the one, this is the thing, this is what you need to be doing. Like, you deserve to be here. That type of feeling, which I didn't know I was operating from that at the time at all. And it doesn't mean that I was creating things that weren't helpful. The products were helpful, but I never let them get to the point where they could grow and hit their true potential and be built in a way where, like you said, pour the concrete, have a really strong foundation that my business could go from. It was like create, abandon, on to the next thing. And you touched on how, you know, this is kind of perpetuating in the online space based on a few key players. And it's not to put anyone's business or business model down, but it's not a good way for many people to operate, especially as you have more and more commitments in your outside life, doing this, like everything is live, everything is fast and furious. And I would say something that I don't think is positive with a lot of the players that are perpetuating this business model is this feeling of it's running on fame almost. It's running on putting the person who's facilitating it, the coach or the service provider, on a pedestal, and how much money they make on a pedestal. And I think it's triggering a lot of people in ways that they don't even realize, who want that, who want to get out of scarcity and who want to build something big for themselves, of saying like, oh, well, when I see this person flaunting their money and flaunting how they've done this and how famous they look online, it's making me want to copy it too. And I can say, looking back, I did absolutely get swept up in that. And I had no idea it was happening. I really didn't. I had no idea until I hit a point where I was like, in the breaking point, I was sitting down. Well, there were a couple. Number one, I was working with one of those coaches. And I remember asking, what do you do when you want to take a break? Like, oh my God, I feel so busy. I look at the type of business model that we're building here, and I don't see room for if I want to take a 3-week vacation. How do you do this when you're on live all the time? And I didn't get a good answer back. I didn't get an answer of like, here's how you take a break. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Is this something I even want? And I feel so tired all the time. Like, it's like selling gives me this high. And then when it's not selling, I feel terrible. And this just doesn't feel sustainable as is. Like, I need to look at how I can make this operate without me being on all the time. I feel like I'm selling my energy. And it really was just like a take a step back and look at everything that's happening and evaluate, like, is this something I even want? Is this something that even feels good? And if not, what's the alternative? And really just getting honest with myself about, okay, you've built something that works. I mean, it was a business model that was generating 20 to 30K a month, but I was tapped. I couldn't get beyond that because everything needed my energy to be at max capacity to run. And I was like, okay, you can sit here and you can be burnt out and be making 20 to 30K months, but have no free time, not be enjoying yourself, have your nervous system be constantly taxed, or you can have your ego take a step back for a second, let yourself go into a rebuilding phase and restructure the way you're doing things so that it feels really grounded and really sustainable moving forward.
Mm, yeah. So many nuggets of gold inside of there. That's worth like kind of examining inside of that too, is that there was a kind of trifecta happening of perhaps like someone's energy, what the format was kind of new-ish to the industry, and the conditions with which like everyone was in at that moment, because it basically, this kind of format exploded in the midst of COVID. So everyone was sitting on Instagram and Facebook like all of the time. And so the success that came to a few key players was a little bit serendipitous and not necessarily possible for many to create at a certain stage of the game. It's almost like when you look at like a and I'm not calling it a pyramid scheme, but when you look at a pyramid scheme, at some point the bottom falls out because it's like the condition isn't there anymore. And it's very similar, I think, with this. So people are trying to like copy and paste this formula in their business. And it's like, well, if you had done that like 2.5 years ago, then you could be printing money in that particular way. But it's not necessarily something that's repeatable now.
I 100% agree with that. I do not think it is massively repeatable. I do not think it's a scalable strategy in the terms of like scaling to the masses. Like everyone can do this, like you're saying. I don't think that that is possible for most people. I also don't think, though, as an addition to that, most people have the desire to do what those business models require. Because being that kind of celebrity coach or celebrity service provider where you're operating on Instagram and nothing is concrete, like in these circles, you hear a lot of the perpetuation of things like, you don't need funnels, you don't need complicated marketing, like you don't need fancy sales pages, you can sell on a Google Doc and a checkout link. Like that all comes at a trade-off. And that's what I really want people to understand with my work that I do in marketing and offer design and business strategy. I want them to understand that if you don't take the time to create well thought out marketing, well thought out messaging, and put it on a concrete place for it to live, you still have to answer those questions that your marketing would answer on a sales page to your audience for them to purchase from you. So if you're not doing it somewhere concrete, like in a funnel, like on your sales pages, if that information isn't there, it's on you to teach it live. You have to show up and you every day have to state the things that your audience needs to hear from a psychological standpoint, if we're talking about buyer psychology, to feel safe purchasing from you. So the burden all falls on you. And that's a huge part of why I think people feel so burnt out when they try to copy that business model, is they didn't realize that they had to be this like animated personality who can show up every single day online and give their full content creator energy. A lot of these key players that we're talking about, they happen to be people who are very good at social media and they love it and they feed off of it and it gives them energy. But most people that I talk to, they don't have that desire, nor do they have the time or the energy to be putting towards their content creation. So there's a trade-off there as well with the actual strategy. And that's a big piece of, like I said, that I want people to understand of there's a reason why it doesn't feel good to you either.
Yeah, I can identify with that. Like, I was actually having a conversation with someone the other day about this, that there is this piece of me, I think, that in the very beginning of my coaching business, where like you're trying to fit yourself into that mold and you're expending your energy. And I'm kind of guessing there's a parallel here too, where all of a sudden you do find yourself, your nervous system is so taxed. And then you have this realization that like you were trying to fit into a pair of pants that is just not your pants. Like they're just not your pants. You're never going to fit into them. And so whether they were too big or too small, it was never going to work for you. But also like trying to like dial into this capacity to care. And I don't mean that like I care deeply about my clients. I care deeply about the service that I provide. I care deeply about a lot of things, but it's like, I don't care to be in that energy of the like, and you have to it has to like really light you up, that kind of being. So the thing that I think is like kind of fascinating, and I want to hear what brought you to that answer, is because when you're in the midst of being really dysregulated like that, and you're in that chasing, it's very hard to find your truth in that place. Because when we're dysregulated like that, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. So how did you find your truth? How did you get grounded? How did you get centered to really claim that?
I wish it was an easy answer, but honestly, so much introspection. I think it started with a little bit of not like full on burnout, but like I was saying, like I first just was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this anymore. But what was like the trigger that started this long like self-discovery journey that led to what I'm doing today was this feeling of like, okay, when I go to show up online right now, I feel like I'm performing. I feel like, almost like you said, wrong pair of pants. Like I'm trying to put on someone else's outfit. And I'm like, it's not that I'm trying to pretend to be someone I'm not, but that's how it's feeling in execution, because I'm trying to do a strategy that just doesn't work for me. Like, I'm like you, I don't want to be online every day. Like I don't feed off of that energy. And some people do, and that's not good, bad, right, or wrong. Just, I don't. I love social media, but I want my breaks from it too. And so I was sitting with, well, why does it feel uncomfortable? Like, why does it not feel good? And I'm like, well, there's fundamentally something off here. And so I really just gave myself permission to take space and to step back a little bit and to say, well, what are the pieces of my business that are giving me energy? What ways and versions of showing up on social media do give me energy or feel really safe? I would say safety was a big word, as odd as that might sound to someone listening. But when it comes to showing up online and in my business, guiding me in the right direction of like, this is a yes for you, this is a no for you. Because I think sometimes if we go for excitement, we can be led astray, because excitement can be adrenaline fueled, which isn't always, I'm sure you would probably agree and even have more insight on this than me, but the right way to be making your decisions, because I find we can make a lot of wrong decisions when we're in that heightened state, because it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There are decisions that are made more like from a reactive place rather than a responsive place.
Mm-hmm. So I had to sit with, well, what does the ideal business look and feel like for me? And really getting honest on that, because I think for a long time, there was a lot of pressure that I was putting on myself of, well, a really successful business looks like the people that you follow online who have the really successful businesses. But that's their model. That's what works for them. That's why they're successful. And it's also someone's stage of business that is different than the stage that I'm currently at. So it's like, what feels good right now, but also what am I working towards long term? And this pulls back to that kind of aha moment where I was like, if I want to take a month off and go to Europe, I want to be able to do that. And the business I'm building right now has no way to get me there. So something fundamentally needs to change.
So how did you find the courage to make that change? And also in that courage too, because I feel like there has to be a certain amount of shift in how you were talking online. I mean, I know that there was like how you were showing up online, your messaging. And so all of a sudden it's like people might have been like, wow, this is really different. Like, what's going on? How did you like navigate that?
Ooh, I'm gonna pull in a super expander here for us. Her name is Victoria. She is a fellow coach in the online space here. And she also deals in nervous system regulation from a little bit of a different perspective. But I had her on my podcast and she was talking to me about vulnerability. Something I really admire in her posts is she will openly talk about failure she has gone through, mistakes she has made, and lessons she has learned from them. And I was asking her, well, where do you find the courage to be so vulnerable? Because she, at the time that I was interviewing her, was explaining, and I know she won't mind me sharing this because she shared it publicly, how she realized she had made a mistake, how she was selling something that she really shouldn't have been selling. And so she ended up refunding like $20,000 worth of programs to people and even going back and refunding people for a program that had already completed. And so I was asking her, well, like, that's vulnerable. That's tough as somebody that teaches business to kind of admit those mistakes publicly and open yourself up for feedback and not be afraid of the repercussions. And she said something to me, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't remember her exact phrasing, but it was like, I've got nothing to hide because I'm comfortable in who I am and why I'm making my decisions. Oh, honesty isn't scary. Honesty is kind. And I just remember that was such a moment for me where I was like, wow, what a good perspective shift of if you understand why you're doing what you're doing and it's truly for the benefit of you and for the benefit of the people that you're serving, you have nothing to hide. It doesn't mean you need to share from a place of pain. And that's something that she's very good at distinguishing too. Don't share in the moment, share afterwards when you have the lesson. But It helped me really own that all of the shifts that I were making in my business were also going to be at the benefit of the people that I wanted to serve. So not only was it self-serving and I was going to create a better business in the long run, but it was going to help my clients more because I would be creating more concrete programs that weren't all live. They were things that people could reference later that had resources that they could take with them. Everything was going to be better for the end consumer. And when I looked at it from that perspective, that gave me the courage. It also took the pressure off of you have to maintain this income level. Something about looking at it from the perspective of, but you're going to be able to serve so much deeper. It suddenly became about the work and not about proving myself financially.
Yeah. I love that. And all of a sudden, when we're not trying to prove ourselves financially, typically what happens is it is like it magnetizes more income into your world because you're focused more on actually delivering, like creating the results and the impact. And then naturally what happens from that place is just more people want to work with you.
Yeah. And I mean, it really has opened up a world of ease because the pressure's off, the timeline's off of you have to prove yourself and hit this income level by this date or you're not valid in what you're doing. I just decided, what if I don't play that game? And what if I get really obsessed with helping the person on the other side of the screen and truly meaning it? Like, I think that was something that we all say, but to like really drop in and embody of like, no, my work here is to help other people. And my job is done when I've created a product that serves really well. And when it serves really well, that's when, like you're saying, you get paid really well because people want to come work with you. They sing your praises. The right clients find you, the wrong ones don't. Everything just gets easier. And that has been the experience, along with, of course, growing and shifting pains. I'm not going to say that it was a walk in the park to retire multiple programs that were making a good amount of money, but it always felt right. It always felt like the right decision.
Yeah. I think that when you're in that place, it does actually become kind of easy to make the hard decision. Like, you know, you're like, oh, this is a little like painful for my pocketbook or my bank account at the moment, but I also know it's for like the greater good, the long game, the longevity of my bank account. I know that in the long term, it's really going to pay off both there and like emotionally and energetically for you being able to sustain, because I mean, a marathon is, that's what we're here for, is we're here to be in the game for the marathon. Okay. So what does business look for you or look like? Hold on. I'm really not articulate. Yeah. What does business look like for you at the moment?
A lot more masculine strategy, so to speak. It's funny how those, I don't know, I really divulged from it when I was in that fast and furious mode, but that also is my home base. It's what I love. It's how I fell in love with marketing. I have a marketing degree. I love data and I love numbers. So getting really grounded in knowing the numbers in my business, that's been a really important part of it, and understanding where traffic is coming from. And we're right now experimenting with ads as a funnel into my world, which we love to hate on in the online coaching space for some reason as not a valid way to grow your business. But it's been really exciting to bring that in. But in terms of business structure right now, it's really about creating affordable and community spaces for people inside my world. So I've actually slashed prices on a lot of things in my world. And as things come back, as they're rebuilt, that's a really big ethos that I have, is making things truly affordable. There also is this weird bubble that I think is already popped and people are starting to wake up to it of like, you can't price gouge just to price gouge online. Like, that's not sustainable long term. Going back to like the pyramid scheme kind of structure, like it's almost like we got away with it for so long, we being the coaching industry, but now people are tapped and people are like, what am I getting for my money? And so just really creating products that over deliver. We're still rolling out some of the products for next year, but there's going to be, I'm like, I can't share all the details yet, but there's going to be community-based spaces that I'm really excited about.
That feels good. I'm excited to see that unfold. I think we're all craving, you know, more community, more connection, more places to be in, you know, with other people who are like-minded, who can expand us. And the idea of the price slashing, I feel like, is well needed. And I think there is a correction happening within the coaching industry. I'm definitely seeing it, and it was much needed. It's not to say that there isn't a place and space for high ticket, but we had definitely, correct, the pendulum had swung way too far in.
It got out of control. Yeah.
Out of control. And there was like, you didn't have to even deliver anything. Like there was a messaging happening around like, oh, you know, just the transformations in the yes and in the investment, which then absolved the provider from really delivering anything. And so all these programs were, had just basically nothing but fluff. And it was like this emperor's new clothes thing happening where, you know, people weren't speaking up and saying like, this, nothing got delivered in this program. And if someone did, it definitely was like hush, hush in the background. No one would speak it out. And then all of these other people would continue to invest in these programs that weren't of substance.
I mean, it's crazy when you zoom out and look at it, like what is really happening. People are getting so enamored, one, with the coach and what they've accomplished and just taking their word as law almost. And like, well, of course this was a good program. I paid $3,000 for watching this person come on and speak to me for 3 hours on live, even though I got no deliverables and no strategy out of it. Like people leave feeling activated. And that's where I feel like we've got some funky nervous system stuff going on. We've got some funky psychological things going on where it's like, you just become so enamored with the coach and following their words that you don't even take a step back and realize, well, what am I gaining from this? I think it's also coupled with deep loneliness. I think that people just want to feel seen and they want to feel validated, especially coming off of COVID and being so alone for so long. And now you're on this entrepreneurial venture that can just in nature feel very lonely and very vulnerable as you're putting yourself out there to step into a space where somebody is also saying, this is normal. You're on the right track. Just keep investing and you'll get there. It creates this very toxic environment that when you're in it, you don't even realize it's toxic because you walk away from whatever the program or the session is, feeling activated, feeling uplifted, feeling good. but then you go back to whatever you're going to work on that coach taught you. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I still don't have the tools. Uh-oh, I better invest again. I better come to the next program so I can chase that high again. But you're never really fixing anything.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. And you're never finding the answer because the answer is always in the next program and in the next program. So I wanted to circle back to something you said. You were talking about masculine energy and kind of like really defaulting back into that space, which I think is a really important conversation to have because you have to have the masculine energy. And there, I feel like there was like so much shaming around having that, but you cannot have a sustainable, thriving, scalable business without really clear structure. And that's important. Yep. Like that's what the masculine kind of actually is inside of the business. Yes, we need the creative. We need that fluid. We need the flexible, but you have to have the structure to hold it.
Absolutely. And it's such a funny thing when you break it down, because if you even go into like, what is masculine marketing or masculine energetics in business, it doesn't hold up as anything concrete. Like, I know what people mean when they say it. They're referring to things that are very structured and strategic in terms of building out your funnels, knowing your launch numbers, you know, creating high converting sales pages and looking at the conversion numbers. Like, I think that's what people are referring to as masculine. But when you really go into it and you look at marketing and you break down what marketing is and how it's functioning, it's all the same. There's not like a dividing line of here's where it's masculine and here's where it's feminine. I think that this narrative really just honestly harms women when it comes to growing their bank account and growing their businesses, because it gives them permission to not learn the hard parts of business, which are the things that are going to move your business forward. You need to know your numbers. You need to have structure. You need to have something to fall back on so that it's not just you every day going out and pioneering and trying to figure out whatever you need to say that day to make sales. No, we want a system. We want things running, predictable, to have organization. And that's what we've deemed as like the masculine side of business. And sure, maybe it is if we're talking energetics. Like, I love an energetics conversation, but it's not something that women can't do or shouldn't do. And so we got to change that narrative, because like I said, it's only harming women to not have it. You're not going to feel supported in your feminine flow if you want to lean into the energetics of it, if there's not that masculine strategy there backing you so that you feel safe to go out and be your most magnetic self and attract the right people in. They really do play off each other.
Absolutely. It's kind of like you would not sit down to put your IKEA table together without the directions. And then think it's going to get together, put together right. I mean, maybe, but it's going to take you four times as long, and you're probably going to put a screw in backwards and a shelf one upside down. So,
yep. I mean, people say like there's no rules to business, which I'm like, sure, to some aspect, but there are principles, and we know the principles work. And your job is to understand the principles so that you can meld them and mesh them to your business and to how you like to operate. But the principles are still there, whether you decide to look at them or not. So the best thing that you can do is armor yourself with the knowledge so that then you can use it in ways that support you. But not learning it is not an option, at least not in my book. You at least got to hire somebody who knows it and can guide you in the right direction.
I don't think it's an option here. If you really look at all like the most successful people, like legitimate, like serious scaled businesses, they will all tell you, it all comes back down to fundamentals, right? The fundamentals. And it's those, the basic rules by which things are created. And you can bend rules, but you really have to know and understand how the rule works to actually be able to effectively bend
it. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't break the rules without understanding them. Otherwise, you are just making mistakes. You're not learning from them. Like, you got to know what you're working with. Got to know the rules.
Absolutely. So if you were to sum up like kind of the core fundamentals that every single business owner needs, should get to master, what would they be?
Oh, this is such a good question. I think everybody would answer this a little bit differently based on their domain. Like, immediately I'm going to a client of mine who's an expert in systems within your business. So she would answer that question a little bit differently than I'm going to. But in my domain, because I deal with marketing and offer creation, we need to understand what the rules are at play that make something compelling marketing and make something a well-received offer or an irresistible offer. There are ways to structure what you're doing and organizing your thought so that it motivates the person on the other end of the screen to buy. Like people love to say, we hear all the time, a no-brainer offer. What does that actually mean? Like we see that thrown around all the time. Like this offer is a no-brainer. How do we actually get that reaction from people? Well, it's when the perceived value of what's in the program is higher than the actual cost of the program. So how do we manipulate the components inside of it? This is how you structure your offer to make it appear that way. And that comes down to a lot of the basic marketing principles that people want to ignore. Things like understanding your client's pain points, understanding the tangible results that they're looking for, and then finding the best way to say, I know how to get you from A to B. Here's what I deliver that takes you there. So everything in your business needs a framework when it comes to how you are describing your offers and how you are describing your marketing. It's like we just can't get away from it.
Yeah, that's so good. One of your superpowers is extracting like the best language to use to convey that. How did you get so good at that?
Well, thank you. It's truly a combination. I mean, number one, I love it. When I was growing up and I was going to school, like I thought for a while I was going to be a writer because I was like, I love writing really good thesis statements and structuring, you know, the different components of a research paper. Like I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the structure. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm supposed to be a writer. And then I loved design. Like I went into graphic design for a while and I was like, okay, like there's similar things here in terms of organizing to manipulate a reaction from people. And so I've always just had a genuine interest in it, but I truly have studied this. Like as soon as I looked around and I was like, marketing is the thing for me. Like this is the best of both worlds. I get to be a little bit creative with it, pulling in that design side, and I get to play with the words and play with the copywriting of it all. I chose. And this pulls back to what I do in business now too, because I help people find their niche and their thing to specialize in. And what I always tell people is you choose. You truly choose what you want to specialize in. Sometimes people think it's going to just like drop in their laps of you're the best at this. And I do have a natural talent for organizing thought. Like that's just how my brain works, but I chose to specialize in marketing. And so I've studied frameworks. I've studied different copywriting frameworks. I've studied the best way to get people to decide that a product is right for them. It truly is my craft and I hone it every single day. But I like to look at the person in front of me as a whole. My strategy, if you're in my world, is I'm going to make you speak to me from every different angle about your product and I help you boil it down. So I reflect things back to people and say, this is what I'm hearing. Is this accurate? If not, tell me where it's off the mark. And then we use that to kind of get closer and closer to the most potent version of what you do.
That sounds like a fun give and take. And it sounds like if for anybody listening, that's a taste of what it feels like to actually work with you, be in your mastermind or any of the programs that you are curating. Because I feel like sometimes we'll have programs where someone's like talking at you and you don't get that sort of back and forth engagement, which I think is a really, at me and how I learn, I feel like that's a really important piece. You need the feedback to go, oh, I tried that. I tried to get it right. Oh, that's what you're hearing? I didn't hear that. But yes, that's exactly what I meant.
I believe so deeply in feedback, especially when it comes to writing your marketing and figuring out the best way to talk about your offers and even to talk about your brand positioning as a whole. If you're not saying it out loud, you're kind of just playing with your own brain and playing devil advocate with yourself around how you see what you do. But once you open yourself up to feedback from other people and say like, here's what I do. And they say, wait, but do you do this? It's where it starts to get clear, is where you don't even realize the blind spots are. And so one, it's so helpful if you're working on your marketing right now to just pull people around you. Like my partner all the time, when I'm writing something, I'm like, hey, does this make sense to you? Tell me what you hear from it. And because if your marketing is clear, even if somebody doesn't understand what you do, they should understand your marketing. Like they don't need to be experts in your field to understand what you're selling. And so you don't have to have a marketing expert in your back pocket to start getting better at your marketing. Your headlines, everything you're writing, your content should be able to be well received by someone with zero familiarity with what you do. But then, yeah, of course, hiring somebody who also understands copywriting frameworks can take that to the next level and help you choose the best words and the best organization of sentences to create persuasion. But clarity is your best friend. So even just taking five of your friends and reading off, here's the tagline for my next program, do you understand what we're going to be doing? That's such a great way to just start getting more clear based on the feedback that they provide you.
Mm. So do you have a favorite book if someone was wanting to expand their knowledge in this realm? I mean, of course they need to come and get in your world and join your, you know, like learn from you. But is there a book that could get them started?
Absolutely. I do. And I gift this to my mastermind people all the time. It's one of Russell Brunson's books, but it's Expert Secrets. He's got a series of three, which is all about how to build your funnels. But he realized that people were really having trouble filling the funnels because they weren't talking about what they do clearly. And so Expert Secrets, I think, does a phenomenal job of breaking down all the different messaging frameworks that you need in your world.
Oh, okay. You guys check that book out. All right. And then how can people get in your world? What's the best way?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, we're rolling out some new products as we speak. We're putting the finishing touches on them. They'll be out in the next couple of months. So depending on when this podcast airs, we might have various ways available for you to dive in. Right now at the time of recording, what I have available, you can get started for $37, nailing your messaging via my program Niche Mastery, which will help you articulate what you do so that you can become the go-to coach in your industry. That you can always find at any time on my Instagram profile. Otherwise, I have my mastermind, Momentum Mastermind, for higher level entrepreneurs scaling their business to six figures and beyond. And of course, private one-on-one coaching if you're interested in working one-on-one. But like I said, there may already be more things rolled out in between those options by the time that this podcast airs. So the best thing that you can do is find me on Instagram. That's my home.
Oh my goodness. You guys, make sure that you go down and follow her. I'm going to drop that into the show notes to make it super easy. Just like click and hop over there, say hi. Make sure you tell her that you heard her on the Super Expander podcast too. If you had just one little juicy nugget, parting words of wisdom, I mean, there's been so many inside the episode, but if you could leave everyone with one more, what would it be?
Oh, I think it really boils down to just trusting your gut in the moments where things are quiet. Not in the moments where you're in high adrenaline. I just sold 12 spots of my group program and I am losing my mind, because that's not your most grounded state. But when things get quiet and you are looking at what you're doing and you're looking at how you're feeling, trust that little nudge of intuition that you're getting of, yes, do more of this, or maybe something's off and I need to take a look at what that is. Because I truly believe, as much as I'm a strategy girly, your intuition is your strongest superpower in your business and it will not steer you wrong.
Mm. I love that. Your intuition. I just said something about that the other day. It's like, you have to listen to it, right? It's such a powerful guide. Otherwise, you're going to end up burnt out. You're going to end up doing something that's not in alignment for you. And you'll end up in the end saying, gosh, why didn't I listen to that voice?
And it's always there too. And when you get like later, if you make the wrong choice and you don't listen to your intuition, you're like, I knew I was supposed to do it this way. Like I had a feeling I was going to come back to this. So just listen.
Every time. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your wisdom, your story, your time, all of it. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me back. It was a pleasure.
We will catch you on the next episode.
Like a fire needs oxygen and fuel, you're not meant to reach your goals alone. Your missing part could be as simple as finding the right community. And if it's not my community, there's definitely the right one out there for you. If you're looking for a place to start, check out the link in the show notes and let this community help you breathe in fresh oxygen.